it that up and makes things shorter. So it occurred to me, as our young people, would you come down, please? Choristers, of course. It occurred to me that during the reading of the gospel, the Jews had great offense at Jesus and said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years. I could see some of you saying, "I had a contractor like that once." Oh, you can see it over here if you want. I have some questions I want to ask you, not for them. What do you have, what do you own perhaps that is vital or valuable? Anybody have a stamp collection? Anybody give you any coins to keep over the years? Did Grandma and Grandpa start a savings bank account for you that you can use for your college years any day now? More power to them. Are you valuable to anybody? Do you think people care about you? Do you matter? Well, it's good to know. I want to tell you a story about a wonderful woman named Maxie. Listen carefully. Maxie lived in three small rooms on the top floor of an old brownstone house on Orange Street. She had lived there for many years, and every day was just the same for Maxie. Every morning, 7 days a week, every morning at exactly 7 o'clock, Maxie raised the shades on her three front windows. Every morning at exactly 7:10, Maxie's large orange cat jumped up into the middle windowsill and sprawled there in the morning sun. At 7:20 in the morning, if you were watching Maxie's back window, you could see her raise the shade to the very top. Then she uncovered a birdcage. On the perch inside the cage was a yellow canary named Utrillo. I did that for Doug. He was waiting for his water dish to be filled, and it always was. If you were watching there still at 7:22, all that happened. But every morning at 8:15, Maxie's door opened with a tired squeak. Maxie's old slippers made a slapping sound as she walked down the four flights of uncarpeted stairs to the front door. Well, outside the front door were the bottles of milk in a container waiting for her. Maxie always tried to hold the door open with her left foot while she reached out to get her milk. But every morning was just a little bit too far, and the door banged shut and locked behind her. So at 8:20 every morning, Maxie rang the bell marked superintendent. The superintendent, whose name was Arthur, would open the door for Maxie and let her in with her milk. Only Maxie and the man at the grocery store knew what she ate for breakfast, but everyone knew she drank tea. For at 8:45 every morning, they could hear the whistling of her tea kettle. How Maxie loved that whistle. She loved it so much that she let it sing out for one full minute. Dogs howled, cats whined, and babies bawled, but everyone knew that when the whistle stopped, it would be 8:46. And it always was. Every morning at 9 o'clock, Maxie walked down the stairs for the second time in her leather slippers. She went outside and put her small bag of garbage in the pail on the front stoop. Then she came back in and waited for the mailman, who probably knew her best. She walked slowly past him in the hall, watching him put mail in the slots for the other people who lived in the apartment building. And then she climbed the four flights of stairs again, resting at each landing. When she got at the top, Maxie went into her apartment, and the door closed after her with the same tired squeak. One afternoon at 1:05, just as she did every afternoon at 1:05, Maxie moved the birdcage with the yellow canary in it to the front windows. It was shady and cool there now. The large orange cat moved to the back window and sprawled there, soaking up the sun that matched the color of his fur. "You're perfectly happy just lying there day after day," Maxie said to the cat. "All you ever want to do is move from one windowsill to the other and watch the world go by. You don't need anyone, and no one really needs you, but you don't seem to care." Maxie turned away from the window. She muttered, "I care. I'm not a cat, but I might as well be." Maxie felt very tired, and she went to bed. That was Monday. On Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock, the three shades on Maxie's front windows and one on her back window remained down. At 7:10, the large orange cat was still asleep at the foot of Maxie's bed. And at 7:30, there were no sweet warbling sounds from the bird. That morning, no one heard the sounds of Maxie's leather slippers on the stairs. Her tea kettle was filled with an empty silence. At 9 o'clock, the mailman came with the Daily Mail. He had a seed catalog for Maxie, and he waited for her to come down the stairs. But since she didn't come, and this was most unusual, he decided to deliver the catalog to her door. He knocked and waited. There was no sign of Maxie. At 9:03, Mr. Turkle, who lived on the third floor, came hurrying up the stairs. At 9:05, Mr. and Mrs. Morehouse got there from across the street. At 9:07, Mrs. Trueheart came over to the next door. Susie Smith came up at 9:10 with her twin brothers. Five members of the family on the second floor made it up by 9:30. Then came Arthur, the superintendent. By 9:17, there were 17 people, three dogs and two cats, all waiting for Maxie to open the door. And when she didn't, they all went in. They found Maxie in bed. More people came up the stairs, and someone called a doctor. By the time he got there, there were 42 grown-ups and 11 children in Maxie's small bedroom. When the doctor came out of Maxie's room, he shook his head sadly. "Maxie isn't really sick. She's lonely. She doesn't feel loved. She doesn't feel she has any value to anyone. She doesn't feel that anyone needs her." No one said anything for a moment. Then suddenly Mrs. Trueheart got up and walked right past the doctor and into the bedroom. "Maxie," she shouted angrily, "you let me down. You and that warbling bird let me down. Every morning I wake up when I hear your canary, then it's my job to wake up my husband. He has the morning shift at the corner diner and he's still asleep. Why, there must be at least 75 people waiting for breakfast at that diner right now. They all have to go to work on empty stomachs. Now, all because of you and that yellow bird." Everyone else crowded into the bedroom. Maxie rubbed her eyes and sat up in bed and listened to what they had to say. "I couldn't go to school this morning," Susie Smith said. "I missed my bus because I didn't hear your tea kettle whistle." "The school bus never came this morning," said Mr. Turkle, who drove the bus. "I didn't wake up in time. I never heard Mrs. Trueheart's footsteps on my ceiling." Mr. and Mrs. Morehouse both had very important jobs, but they missed their train that morning. Their alarm clock was Maxie's window shade. Arthur, the superintendent, hadn't swept the front steps that morning. He had overslept because Maxie didn't ring his bell. He hoped no one would complain. They all talked about it and decided that there must be about 400 people who needed and loved Maxie, or who knew someone who needed Maxie every single morning. Maxie listened to all this with widening eyes. Then she smiled. She got out of bed and made a pot of tea. In fact, she made 5 pots of tea. Each time the kettle whistled, dogs howled, cats whined, babies bawled, Maxie listened and thought about how many people were being touched by these sounds, her sounds. By 9:45 that morning, Maxie had served tea to everybody, and she was so pleased. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to that story. I think it's time for us to stand as a community of faith and proclaim that faith. Thank you all.